Hey, welcome. I'm kind of new to having this thing on my head, so it's kind of fancy. Thanks for coming. I'm so glad that you guys came to the parenting conference, and just so sweet to see you all here. I'm just thankful for the ministry and the job you had in role as parents. Today, this is Get Your House in Order. And even though it's geared mostly, I feel like towards mom, it's also for dads because in the parenting, me and my husband more than anything realized we need to get on the same page. So for everything I learned, I wanted him to learn too. And I wanted us to be on the same page. So welcome and thanks for coming. My family, I think it's on a slide. This is my family, and me and my husband have been married 30 years, and we have 8 kids and 5 grandchildren. The next slide is me and my husband and our grandchildren, I think. Yeah, so it's my favorite. So, so fun. So, so it's been a journey, and I'm still a work in progress, and still God continues to teach me how to parent and continues to show me what a wonderful, perfect parent he is for me. After my transition from a single working woman to being married and then to a mom who chose to stay home full time with humans fully dependent and selfish sinners in my home, I was in the midst of my dream come true, and I was kind of, but then I had feelings of being lonely, kind of overwhelmed, and with all the different life transitions that hit me. I began to realize one thing. There's something I realized with working outside the home and working inside the home, that productivity prior to motherhood was measured in concrete, objective terms, goals achieved, and things accomplished. In motherhood, the measure of productivity is completely different because loving, nurturing, and studying a person with deep intention and thought and quietly caring for a baby doesn't produce anything visible to check off a to-do list. Matter of fact, a lot of times it'll get in the way of to my anticipated activities for that day. So as parents, we must renew our thinking as we enter into this role of parenting, reorder our priorities as we live out our purpose according to God's plans for our life. And for me, it's just a constantly, your will be done, that my will would be swallowed up by the will of God. So, but before getting your physical house in order, you must first get your house in order. The house, you are the temple of the living God as a believer in Christ. And so get your heart in order. You are that temple. We must remember God's purpose and your privilege to serve in this platform. Our purpose as a believer is to glorify God and to love him with all our hearts and to be conformed into the image of Jesus as we spread the good news of the gospel by what we say and by the way we live our lives. And I love that my purpose will always, as a believer in Christ, and will always stay the same, and that God is trying to sanctify me and make me more and more ready for heaven to be with him, and one day I'll be perfect, but until then, I am a work in progress, and that's okay. God knows that, and he uses the ministry and the different platforms in our life to bring us to that point, just to be glorified and to see him one day. Until then, we are a work in progress, but in Ephesians 2:10 says, we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So God knew the good works in the life that I would live in this world, and he gives good gifts to us. Our platform would be any opportunity, position, role, or season that God decides is the best way for me and for our family to proclaim his greatness and to be used by him for his purposes, as he conforms me into the likeness of his son. So he gives us different platforms, different seasons of life, to carry out what he has designed for us. So I have to reorder my priorities as I trust his provision. We must align ourselves with God's plan according to what matters most. A lot of times in this clutter of this world, we get so busy and bothered and anxious like Mary and Martha, and we're just like all into our little world, we have to back up and go, wait a minute, what really matters most? And what platforms has God called me to? What I like to remember is that my maker matters, my marriage matters, and my motherhood or my parenthood for you fathers in here. But it's a platform. Platforms to proclaim Jesus will change, but your purpose remains. But whatever God calls me to do, he will sufficiently provide. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you will abound in every good work. God's promises are true, and his truth brings me confidence and peace as a parent. So the first is your maker matters. So what matters most? My maker matters. If I'm going to be a good wife and a better mom, I need to be a better lover of my Jesus. That's what matters most. I need to study my God. I need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Love God most, best, and then I can disciple my children. I can love my husband better. Deuteronomy 6, it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And these commandments are supposed to be on our hearts first, and then we're supposed to impress those on our children. I have absolutely nothing to impress on my children if I do not have the living God inside of me, and I don't have the truth of his word to proclaim to my kids. It's a bunch of emptiness. So I first have to seek first the kingdom of God and remember that that matters most. And let me remind you guys that we make time for what's important and what matters most. It says, if anyone would follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. And in Galatians, it says, I'm supposed to be crucified with Christ so that Katie Sherrod no longer lives, but it is Jesus who lives through me. And this is what makes me an effective mother, a powerful mother, a confident mother, a loving mother, if I can walk by the Spirit so that I won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because, woo, my sinful nature is strong. So I'm constantly in need of my Savior, and I'm so glad that he's constantly there for me. Have you been seized by the power of a great affection? I love how Gordon Crosby describes his transformation that way, but my prayer is that you'll be more and more in love with Jesus and be seized by that affection. Do you have a growing relationship with the perfect parent, or have you become busy, bothered, and distracted? When Jesus saw Mary and Martha, he said, you need to do what Mary's doing. Come sit at my feet and listen to me, because she's chosen what's best and what won't be taken from her. My relationship with Jesus, nothing about that will ever be stolen away from me. And when I invest in that, I'm investing into my soul, and I get to invest into the people I love most that God's entrusted to my care. Do you feed yourself on the word and go to him in prayer? Guys, we have to possess those things before we can pass them. So if you're married, God's called you to your marriage. Your marriage matters. And I don't have to pray, is that God's will for my life? It is, if you're a married person. So commit to study your spouse and fight for your covenant love. You got to fight for that marriage and keep that relationship central as you add children. Don't let it get lost in the as you add children into your family. Your marriage must represent a beautiful first picture of the gospel to your children. And I love just that remembering that as I submit to my husband and my husband lovingly leads, and just the picture of Christ in the church that my kids get to see through the example of our marriage. I offer my kids so much by fighting for my marriage. So if you have children, the next thing that matters most would be your motherhood or your parenthood. Study your kids that have been trusted to your care. Ask God to help you know their hearts. They're all created uniquely by God with varied learning styles, personalities, love languages, ways of communicating, and spiritual gifts as they become believers. They're always changing as the years go by. So don't get stuck in a rut. I found myself a lot of time get stuck in a rut. The seasons of parenting change. And so just reevaluating often of what you're doing and why you're doing it should happen often, reevaluation. Always update your systems and with prayer and intentionality, a reset button is necessary. Remembering that God is the only perfect parent and all his children are disobedient. That kind of gives me some encouragement. And all his kids need constant redirection. That also gives me encouragement to know that God parents me with constant redirection. And it's not a burden to him. It's a delight. And oh, how I want to parent in the ways that God loves me and parents me. God calls us to faithful obedience to train our children in obedience. We are not expected to be perfect, but just real. Your kids, you can't fool your kids. We need to be real. We're repentant sinners alongside them. Practice makes progress, not perfect. I love, love, love Mary's joyful surrender when God chose to make her mother of the creator of the universe. And she used it as an opportunity to make much of God. It wrecked her life. She didn't know this was going to happen. And then she finds out that the order that she's pregnant and that she's pregnant. And I just think of her response was, I delight to do your will. Your law is within my heart. And she said, with God, all things are possible. But I love her beautiful surrender. It wasn't just surrender. It was joyful surrender. Joyful surrender. What is the attitude of your heart as you parent the children that God has given you? And then she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. She wanted this pregnancy to be about magnifying, making great, making much of Jesus. So whatever did not fit into my plan, fit in the plan of God, is a quote by Edith Stein. I really like that. Because, y'all, I keep on trying to tell God what my plan is, but and he's like, Katie, wait a minute. I am God and you are not, which I'm very grateful for. But I keep wanting to just tell him what I got going. I have a plan. And so I love it when God continues to wreck my plans because I know he is God and I'm not. He is good. And he is sovereign. And I get to fit into the grand scheme of what he's doing in my life and the life of my kids. But God has and will give all that's needed for what he's called us to. I love how when Jesus told the man with a withered hand to stretch out his hand, that man couldn't stretch out his withered hand. But at the moment he obeyed what God's command was, he stretched it out. The same with the crippled man. Take up your mat and walk. It's like, I'm crippled. It's like, when he spoke it and he obeyed, he got up and he walked. God has called you to be a mother, called you to be a parent. Walk in that obedience. He will give you what you need at the moment that it's needed. Let me remind you, many jobs and opportunities will come and go, but the God-ordained role of parenting, your child at this time, one time in life has come, and let me remind you, it will never come again. It will never come again. I will never say that I wish I had spent more time with my children. Every moment has been hard, but it's a blessing, and it's something I will not regret. As my kids now are age 9 to 29, get your house in order. And with that, there's going to be an overflow, and there's going to be some intentionality with that. And A, overflow, life-on-life discipleship. So as I'm full of who God made me to be and walking in his spirit, then I'm praying that that'll be an overflow of life-on-life discipleship with my kids. As a Christ follower, I house the spirit of the living God. My house needs to be full of the fruit of the spirit so my kids can catch a glimpse of Jesus. Everyday conversation is discipleship. Out of the overflow of the mouth, the heart speaks. We talk about what's important to us. What's important to you? Your kids know. I pray that you will look for teachable moments and be attuned to your kids. There's a lot out there about attunement. It's just like, pay attention to your kids. I've realized recently, it's just seeing your kids saying, I see you and I hear you. You can't see and hear your kids if you're on your phone or on your laptop or you're preoccupied with something else. And so you get a choice to be attuned to your kids. You can either turn toward them, turn away from them or turn against them. What I've realized and been convicted of lately is I'm turning away. If I'm not turning towards them, I could still turn away from them. It's not meaning that I'm turning against them, but I'm just not listening to them because I'm preoccupied with something else. And so I'm making sure that I'm seeing them and I'm truly hearing them. An example in everyday conversation with our kids, like when little ones come to you, I don't know exactly how old your kids are right now, but, you know, my 9 and 10-year-old are crazy. But just like when I'm saying, Mom, he called me a pumpkin head. And I'm like, well, what does God say? Are you a pumpkin head? You know, and so just even reminding them their identity in the little day things is part of the privilege we get to have as a parent. When we take walks in creation, just acknowledging God, like, see that tree? Isn't that amazing what God has done? There's one tree that has 3 different leaves on it, and I absolutely love the design of God. But just bringing those things out and talking about the beauty of God and talking about God as we walk along the road and as we live life. In a world that's constantly feeding lies to our children, your home must be a sanctuary of overflowing truth. My dad would often talk about, like, our house, you guys want to have a word versus a world environment in your home. How can you have a word environment, a home that is flowing with truth? Because the world is totally feeding your kids lies and chasing after them with lies. My dad spoke truth to me. My dad went to be with Jesus in 2006. But you guys, the things I keep hearing him say is God's word. The scripture never dies. And when he died and I realized I had the words of life that he spoke to me, that never dies. And no one can take that away from me. And I get to pass that on to my children from generation to generation. In Jeremiah 20, it says, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones and I cannot hold it in. I pray that you'll be mothers and fathers who love God's word. Proverbs 31, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's nothing that taught me more about kindness than having kids and seeing my rudeness and seeing how unkind I was and what my words sounded like. Because when your children say those words, it sounds terrible. And you're like, who did they learn that from? You. And so I love how God is so brilliant in that to conform me into his likeness by, you know, I'm telling them how to talk, so you better clean up your talk there, Katie. But we need to reframe the seemingly mundane and meaningless chores of managing a household. As you do what God has called you to do as a parent, let me tell you, it is a spiritual act of worship. It is a fragrant aroma to your God. Because if he's called you to do this, it matters, and it's important. There's only 2 things that last forever. It's the word of God and the souls of men. And so as I invest in those things, that's called success. A wise woman builds her house, but with the same hands, the foolish one tears hers down. We get to choose to be women who build our houses. The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. I have loved that quote from the beginning, y'all. I'm like, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And I have my little army. I'm raising up a little mighty army of the Lord here. And we're going to get out there and do damage for the kingdom of God. And so I have power because God has entrusted these little ones to me. I get to be the one who helps shape their lives and know what goes into their minds. I need to overflow the good news of the greatness of God to the next generation. You're a minister to the children that God brings to you, and you're required. He wants us to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We get to disciple kingdom-minded kids to be salt and light in a crooked and perverse generation. And let me just tell you this: if you're expecting, you have little ones, do not be afraid. God chose this time in time and space, and from beginning, before he created the universe and the whole world, that this would be the time that your child would be born. He has a plan and a purpose, and he provides for our kids what is needed at the time that it's needed. And for such a time as this, your kids are born. God has given you this house to you and no one else, what are you going to do with your house? How can you plan to intentionally live out God's purposes in and through your family? So, intentional, training in righteousness. Be diligent to teach truth. We need to learn, we need to remember, we need to do hard things as parents. And I think those hard things start with just mostly self-denial and surrender. I remember praying, God, teach me to be a servant. And he said, you want to be a servant? I'll teach you to be a servant. So he brought marriage and motherhood into my life. And it's so so refining. And I think of Jesus, who was our ultimate server and servant. He served me not because I was lovely, but to make me lovely. And he served me expecting nothing in return. As a mother, what are you expecting? Are you doing this for God and his glory? Or what are you expecting? When Jesus gave away his life, he willingly laid down his life because of love. We need to listen to Christian music, sing scripture songs in our homes, teach them to talk to God as you model a life of prayer. Use mealtime for training and meaningful conversation. I have a list of ABC verses, and we memorize verses, Bible verses, and the ABCs, and Tiny Theologians is a good resource, teaching just the omniscience of God and the omnipresence. Shine is this from the Life Church, and it's really cute. It's about scripture. And then having prayer time, circle up in the morning, having habits of the household, which the guys here who wrote that, but we do that in our house, just a daily small habits, just small things you say to your kids. Like the small things my dad would say to me, I still hear. I remember hearing him saying, John 17, sanctify them by the truth. God's word is truth. But just saying the same things over and over. And I've asked my adult kids, you know, like, what are things I've said to you? And they know those things. But in the morning, we circle up before we start our day, and the boys start their day, and we say, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. And they repeat, I'm not what I have. I'm not who others say that I am. I am loved by God. I'm who God says I am, and that's all that matters. And we say that and repeat it. They know that better than I do. I had to ask them, what's that we say every morning? And it's so good because I'm like, again, I was like, what is God? What does it even matter what anybody else says if this is what God says? And then we say, may all that we say and do bring glory and honor to you. We kind of swing our hands like this and make it fun. And then every day our aim is Jesus' name and fame. My husband is the king of rhymes. So he made that up. Some of you are very creative, and that's the thing. I love, as I was a parent, there's little things you're going to learn in this conference and today, but then you are these children's parent, and God will give you wisdom. So figure out what works for your family. Next, we need to, as a couple, establish rules. I think I had my firstborn, and then I had another one about 12 months later, and then I had another one about, I don't know, 16, 18 months later, and I was like, oh, my word, what am I doing here? What is happening? I'm going to go crazy, or one of them's going to die, you know, like when we go in public. I have to know what in the world I'm doing here, and what is my plan? I need to have a plan. And so that's when I, like, sat down, and I wrote a three-page of shared rules. So what are your rules? What are you doing? What are the, you know, just like say yes, ma'am. Say no, ma'am. Say please. Say thank you. Just little things that I wanted to teach my kids, how to respect others, how to respect property. And I needed to sit down, and I need to think about it. Because if I'm leading these little kids and they're looking to me, I need to know where we're going and what we're doing and what's the purpose behind all that we do. I also love, there's a Bible called the Right Choices Bible. Actually, I left my little box of goodies back there. But it's a Right Choices Bible. I think it's still in print. But just even as you're reading God's word, and then you say to the kids, like, if Noah's like, so did Noah make a good choice or a bad choice? And then as we're reading scriptures and the kids get to say, he made a good choice or he made a bad choice. I love just looking at scripture in light of that, of viewing it, because a good choice is choosing to do things God's way and according to what his word says. Or did he make a bad choice? And so even in that, it was great because I could use less of my words, because as a mother, I got really tired of saying my words. I'm like so tired of speaking, you know? And so I'm sure you're tired of hearing my voice too, children. But just so when they were doing something and you could tell they're about to do something, not a good job, I'm like over there going like this, you know, and they know I'm saying to them, are you going to make a good choice or a bad choice? But also I was leaving it to them, because I realize everything you do in life, you're going to have to choose this. Mom's going to lead you this way, but I can't make you. In Jeremiah 24:7, it says, I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord. Mama can't do it. As much as I want to shake it into some of them, I can't. I have to trust the Lord, but I do want to make that way favorable so that my kids will love and know the same Jesus that I love. So we need to clearly define and communicate your expectations for behavior and boundaries. It's your job to help your child to be a joy to yourself and to others. These rules should support and lead your family toward purpose and that's determined by God. And you should be mindful of your goal and purpose in parenting. Then you can wisely determine how you will get where you want to go. Zig Ziglar said, if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. So we need to aim at things. Even in that, we came up with a family saying, it's passion for God and compassion for others. And we wanted to be represented, or we want to be known as the shared family who make the name and fame of Jesus great. We need to teach children to obey and honor. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your mother and father, that it may go well with you. When frustrated with your children, remember your own struggles for obedience to the Lord and God's grace that he gives you over and over and over, and his patience and his love that is steadfast. If you find yourself continually repeating commands and counting, counting over and over, your kids, you've communicated to your children that you actually might not mean what you say. So trying to teach them to obey when you say it the first time. You will have to repeat things over and over as a parent. But again, remembering that when you do say it, that you want them to obey and do that right away. Be consistent and follow through. Because a lot of times I see moms just saying words, saying words, saying words. Don't say it if you don't mean it, and mean it when you say it. Be ready to follow through and be consistent, because our inconsistency confuses them. It's not their fault. It's yours. You know, that's what I had to come to, Katie. You're a babbling fool, Katie. You're a babbling fool right now. If this is what I mean, then I'm going to say it. And if I don't mean it, then don't say it. Remember, as you're teaching your kids rules and you're trying to teach them to honor and obey, if they don't know Jesus, they do not have the Holy Spirit living in them. And so I can talk about that, but I always would be real mindful. So if you become a Christian, if you become a believer in God, because I don't want my kids growing up thinking that they're already a Christian because they're born in a Christian home. That's kind of what I thought. And so I'm like, no, they get to make that choice too and choose to follow after Jesus. Be intentional and diligent to work on right responses. In non-conflict situations, especially, give your child opportunities at home to share, respond when his name is called, take turns, be gentle, answer with right responses. And you have to give them the words to say, because kids will go, oh, I don't want that. It's like, let's try that again with some kind words. And me saying, no, Mom, is it okay if I don't do that right now? And asking them, but you have to give them the words to say. You have to give them the right responses. You're the teacher, and they're learning from you. Teaching them to say, yes, ma'am, please, thank you, may I do something. But you also have to lead by example. Again, that's where sometimes I thought, oh, I'm not saying that. I'm telling them, and I need to watch and make sure I have kindness coming out of my mouth. Teach them how and why to behave this way, as we pray that it'll give them obedience from the heart. And just saying to them, if they do it wrong the first time, let's try that again. Let's try that again. Why don't you go back up there? Let's try that again. you know, because we're always a work in progress, and God gives me chance and chance again, to 70 times 70, over and over, chances to be obedient. Many times we expect good behavior from our kids outside of the home. Have y'all ever experienced this? But you're not practicing it in the home. And then they do that outside the home, and you're like mad and frustrated and embarrassed. And it's like, that is on you, mama. That is on you. But it helps you realize, oh, we haven't been practicing this, because you'll be more lazy at home. And then you're in. So just practice in those same things at home before you go outside the home. And then when I said practicing, we would play these obedience games, like when they're really little, if you have little ones, toddlers, I would get them to go, okay, you're going to walk over there, and mommy's going to call your name. I'm going to say, Jordan. And when I say Jordan, I want you to turn around, and I want you to look at me and start walking towards me and say, ma'am. Because when I say your name, it means I need to talk to you, and there's something I need to say to you. So just teaching them that, but playing a little game with it helps. And then they do that, you know, and you're playing your obedience game, and they come back, and you're like, good job, way to go. You listened when mommy called your name. And that serves you well if they're about to cross the street and a car's coming, and your child hasn't been practicing listening to your voice, and you're trying to protect them, and you're not physically holding their hand. So just getting them to learn to listen and obey. So it's not also just a bunch of Pharisaical rule followers that look good on the outward that we're trying to raise up, but we do want transformed lovers of God who obey, not because they have to, but because they want to. But in those early years, they'd have to obey mom and dad. But I want that obedience to be transferred to obedience out of a heart that loves the Lord. We need to utilize vital training opportunities. And this kind of goes along with it. But as you impart wisdom and loving direction with physiological needs, I started noticing this, because even after my bio kids and adopted kids, and we did foster, as more children came, I realized the same issues across the board. All those with eating, sleeping, and potty training. These areas are important building blocks for teaching submission and obedience as you demonstrate your God-given authority and loving responsibility in their lives. Children have an inborn desire for autonomy and run by the sin nature. But as a parent, we are responsible and given wisdom to help them with healthy things and knowing what to eat, when they need to sleep. People are like, how my kid won't go to bed. I'm like, well, you're the parent and they're the child. And so it's time to go to sleep. And so, but just use your authority and use the power in that. But they're supposed to be in the bed. It's time to sleep, because kids need a certain amount of hours of sleep. Children need to eat well. I'm not going to let them choose. I'm going to help them know this: you need vegetables and you need fruits and you need certain foods to eat. So I'm not going to let my kid, who is autonomously run by his sin nature, decide things for himself. I'm going to decide that because I am a wise and loving parent. The same with potty training. You know, it's like, if y'all have experienced the potty training, it's like, okay, they've sat there for 15 minutes and we're reading a book, and then they get up and they poop in their pants, you know, and it's like, ah, okay. Again, I tell people, mom and dad have to be ready for parent training more than like, who cares if the kid's ready? Mom and dad, you got to prepare yourself and be full of the Spirit at all times. Ugh, nothing like your monster coming out during those times. So, but let me just remind you, you're not a mean parent when you're deciding these things for your kids. You're a wise parent. You need to decide what needs to be done and how that's going to be done. But use your God-given wisdom and authority, which is next, which is wisdom and authority with confidence and meekness. Meekness is strength under control. Stop giving your child 1,000 different choices each day. Y'all, I just feel like these kids are totally stressed out. I'm stressed out. You go to the grocery store, like, with 1,000 different ketchup options. I'm like, what? Like, that stresses me out. And so just going ahead and deciding, this is your breakfast. There's not a choice. Say, thank you, mommy. Yeah. And so these kids need you to decide some things for them. And I'm not saying there's not a time for choice and not a time for that, but Would you like one blanket, one blankie, or two? Would you like to eat standing up or sitting down? It's like, no, we're sitting in our chair, and we're going to eat dinner together, you know. And will they like it? No. Will they be happy to obey that? No. But I'm training them, right? I'm training them. And I'm training them to have the right responses. So you're also teaching them the reality that we don't always get a choice. Hello. what about real life? So next, freedom. Freedom is given as a child demonstrates responsibility. Irresponsibility will result in the loss of freedom. Chore assignments are a wonderful way of teaching responsibility and teamwork, service, value of work. And I say to people, I mean, like, you've got help, so use it. I think a lot of times for me, I'm more of a type A personality, so if someone's helping me fold, there's a certain way I happen to like things to be folded. But for me, it's learning, let go of it. Like, Katie, stop. Like, be glad that they're folding their clothes. And then I got even a little less, I'm like, as long as it's in the drawers and I don't see it hanging out, all good, you know? Like, for me, it's me. Again, see, God is amazing. He's refining me. He's refining me. So taking the time to train them in household responsibilities. And let me just tell you, it's going to take different children different amounts of time. Some will get it like this. Others will not get it at all. And so teaching them what that means, cleaning up your room doesn't mean pushing everything up under the bed, you know. This is what it means. And then, two, me being willing to go get down on my knee and do that with them and demonstrate with them and help them, come alongside them until they get it. I see too many times moms are doing too many things for the kids. You need to let them move towards maturity. You put your shoes on. I can't. I was like, don't say I can't. Say I will try. I will try. Keep trying, because how will you ever learn if you don't try? Try. If you can try for a few minutes here, I'll help you. Let me see you try. So we need to push them towards maturity. Different jobs around the house teach our kids to be also just servant leaders. We have something we would always do called the leader of the week. That helps so much with, like, who gets to sit in a certain seat of the car, or if we have somewhere we're going to go, everybody has an opinion. If you have multiple kids, well, who's the leader of the week? That it solved a lot of problems for us. It really helped things go more peacefully in our home. And the leader of the week doesn't have to be a self-centered leader of the week. The leader of the week would also be the kitchen helper. So they're serving food and they're helping clean up the table. So they're learning to be a leader and a servant the way Jesus was a servant. But there's also special, you know, perks to that. Like, if dad's going somewhere and only one kid should go with him, who's the leader of the week? And then teaching sibling just unity, just like, well, if only one can go, then we're supposed to rejoice with those who rejoice. Like, don't come with me and say, well, I don't get to go. It's like, well, are you the leader of the week? Will you be leader of the week next week? Yes. Will you get to go? Yes. Can you please be happy for your brother? It's his turn today. So I'm teaching them. I'm teaching them kindness. And so schedule and routine. I'm telling y'all, to me, it's essential. And if you're not that kind of person, it's essential to integrate some things into your life. It builds confidence, emotional balance, and security for children. When life is predictable, more predictable for them, it brings sanity and peace to the whole family. It also eliminates a ton of questions. As a mom, sometimes, you know, you can't wait till they say mom, and then sometimes I go, I wish my name wasn't mom, you know. And so, but it's like, when are we going to do this? I was like, I'm just looking at him. I was like, you tell me, you know, because sometimes I get into that rut of wanting to ask questions. And so I just ask the question back, you tell me. And they know. It's something weird. I think it's in the sin nature. I don't know to do that. and it also just helps them to flow. They know if we have a nap from 1 to 3, then we're going to have a small snack at that time, so you don't have to ask. You don't have to ask, what is it going to be? If I decide and I know what it's going to be, you know, and maybe on Fridays you get a choice, you know? Someone's in charge in directing their life, and God's giving you that role. So, and even with that mealtime, like having a routine and having sitting meal, eating meals as a family at a table has been, there's been studies done on that, just about family unity and about kids as they grow up as teenagers. We had a foster daughter stay with us for a while, and one time we were asking what's her favorite thing, and she said, when we sit at the table and eat together and we all sit around and we look in each other's faces and we laugh and talk about our day, it just means something. Next, quiet alone time each day is needed. There's wisdom in using room time, rest time, book time, or table time, especially if a child is not napping. It's called sanity. And it's just needed. Kids today don't need to be entertained 24/7. They need to learn how to play and play alone. They need to be good with that. A lot of times, even for book time, I would train them for book time because there's times where my kids need to sit and be quiet. And, you know, when they're little, they're a toddler, they're like, I'm done. And I'm like, nope, you're not done yet. You'll be done when I tell you. So you sit there, and I know it's hard at first. I'm going to set a timer. I'll set a timer for 1 minute, okay? Like, how low can you go, right? Let's do 1 minute and do how low. Do find something that they can achieve. And it's like 1 minute, timer goes off. Good job. Okay, book time's over. And then you work that time up more and more. So even like I'm going to a doctor, I'm going to an appointment, you guys sit right there. I'll just read the books. Sit quietly. Children need to learn how to have self-control. And they're not going to have a laptop and they're not going to have a phone when they're doing that. They're going to learn self-control. And their minds can think and their minds can remember, I need to be having self-control or I need to read this book. Having table time, just learning, color, playing Play-Doh, sensory toys, puzzles, other kind of manipulatives to challenge and grow fine motor skills, and then steadily increasing that time. Next is playtime. I'm a big believer that if all toys are accessible to children all the time, they will be bored and uninterested in all of them. I don't know. I've found that out over time. So I would organize them, put some in box, have my animal bucket, different buckets, cars, put them up high. And if we're going to play, we're going to get some down. We're going to play with it. And when we're done, then we're going to put them back up. And then we're going to learn to clean up and be responsible with what we have and not just treat it and be like spoiled, like we just have everything so we want nothing, you know, and we're always looking for something else. But also for me to help them learn that. I love toy rotation, and I'm maybe getting some down that are available to them, but then I'm putting some up. One time I remember when at the point in my life where I asked parents, grandparents, please do not give us anything with batteries. You know, they just all, it's just a constant. But then we took up everything that had batteries and I put it in a box and then I put it in the attic. And then like on a rainy day or really cold days and you're inside for a period of time with small littles, I like got batteries and put batteries in everything. It was like Christmas times four. It was amazing. Yeah. So just learning to do that and to bring it back different and new. But I really do believe that misbehavior is due to lack of structure and direction in children. You know, so me to try to help them, give them a little bit of structure, discipline. And in our playtime, we do playtime routine with different activities that are available using different locations. And if, again, it's rainy or a cold season, I would have a certain group of toys in the bedroom. We're going to play in the floor. It helps my sanity, too, when I had real littles. And like, we're going to play some toys in here. Maybe we're going to play at the table. Maybe we're going to play in the front yard, and there's things we do in the front yard. Or we're going to go in the garage, and we're going to ride something around in the garage. So going different places and having different activities in different places also helps. It's kind of like stations. You know, that's the way I would think of like moving in stations. But Legos, wooden blocks, kitchen stuff, having dance parties with your kids, playing instruments. What's an instrument? Anything you can bang on, you know? Some days just in having low shelves with plastic stuff so you can't get in any cabinet, but you can get in this cabinet, you know? but having beanbag activities, but making sure I'm creating fun. I get to do this. I get to use my gifts and talents to create fun for my home and make it be a place where my kids want to be and other people want to come as well. I want it to be a ministry center where people feel welcome, but I want my kids to want to be there, even as young kids, but then as they grow up as teens. And even now I have my big people. I set my rooms up, y'all, for because they're having babies now. I've got my closet with the plate in the porta crib in the closet, and I got a queen size bed because I'm like, I want them to be, I want my place, my home to be a place where my kids want to be. Remembering that with all these activities, getting outside as much as possible, vitamin D, of course, but just for everyone's sanity, there's green spaces enhance mental health and learning capacity. If you want to look up a few studies on that, it's just true. God created the world for us to enjoy and for it to be out in it when we can. Even the Mayo Clinic, even if we don't, says 0 to 2 should have no screen time. They suggest 2 to 5, 1 hour. So just being, you know, that's where I say just do hard things. This is a generation where it's like, just give them. You know, it's like, but I say do hard things. Press into that behavior. Do not just appease it. And I know so many times you're like, I am just done here. You know, like just whatever. And so I'm just admonishing you to press into those hard things and to develop their character and develop their self-control and finding different ways for their sweet little brain that's still developing so much in those early years to be able to think and find things to do. Y'all, I used to be the kind of mom where my kids would go outside and they would come, you know, like, oh, we don't have anything to do. I was like, yes, you do. And I would lock the door and say, you cannot come inside. Stay out there. And then give them a little bit of time and they have fun. They're like, you know, they're playing all kinds of games. So it takes a little while for that creativity to kick in. The next one I have is just simplify. Reduce your inventory. And y'all know that the more kids you get, the more stuff you get. So just try to reduce inventory. Don't believe the lie that there's every little new gadget that's out there you need. That is not true. Whatever might be helpful to you and your household and your sanity, but get rid of a lot of things and teach your kids to get rid of things. A lot of times I'll say, okay, we got to look at our clothes. What clothes? We don't wear these. There's people out there who need these. And not just sell them, but give them to somebody. Give them to somebody who needs them. Give them to somebody else. Teach your children, say, what would you like to give? We have too many of this. What? Go pick something. And then sometimes they pick the thing, I don't want this. You're gonna, and I was like, I'm going to challenge you just a little. Why don't you pick something that you like that you would like to also give them? You know, not just what you don't like. So, but just remembering, guys, the bottom line is to get your heart in order. And that's with surrender, joyful acceptance, and obedience to the Lord. We must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. But getting our heart in order is more about salvation and sanctification for our kids and for ourselves. It's Spirit-led living, impacting the souls that have been entrusted to your care. And it's eternal rewards, eternal benefit. I always said in my, just in staying home, I don't get a check like the rest of the world, but I get eternal rewards that nobody compares to nothing. And what I do, my God sees, and it's a fragrant aroma to my God. And I do it for him and for his glory because of the love I have for my kids. But all so that you can live out your God-ordained purpose in this beautiful platform of parenting. And let me just tell you, nothing's wasted. In those days where you find yourself frustrated, it's like, just remember there's a bigger picture going on. And I just like to go, oh, God, you're just so good because you're just getting to the core of my sin nature. And it's only just begun, you know. And so I'm still a work in progress. I've been a parent for a long time. I'm just not dead yet, y'all. I've decided I'm not done until I'm dead. And that's just true. And so I'm just so grateful for the parent God is to me and his kindness and his grace. And he keeps coming to me, and he keeps letting me come to him. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He delights in us coming to him. So that's the kind of parent he is. How much time do we have?
Katie, you're doing great. We've got 10 minutes or so.
Wow, yay.
You want to do some Q&A?
Sure. And let me do tell you, I have an email address. If anyone wants to email me, and if you're local, if you want to meet with me, that's my heart. If you want to learn, and I want to help you in your ministry as a mom, because it's hard, but it's worth it. Nothing's wasted. It's Mama Kate, MommaKate, and my foster mom name was Mama Kate for years, and one of my little girls called me Mama Cake, so my grandkids call me Cake now, so we shortened it. But it's MommaKate67@gmail.com. Yeah. So, does anybody have a question?
Wonderful. Who's going to be leader of the week? Can you ask the first question?
So, you said when you guys are at the dinner table, mm-hmm. and say one is being disobedient or not wanting to eat the food, or what would you do? How do you handle that situation?
Yeah. It's funny because isn't it crazy when they're being disobedient when they're supposed to be praying and you're trying to, like, we are talking to God here, you know, it's like, it just depends on, the time, the setting, but I also would maybe if it's many people there, maybe remove them from the table and go talk about it. And, let's talk about the behaviors that we should have right now. And then let's come back. Let's try that again. And the table is so important. I think even with siblings, a lot of times we would share our high and low for the day. And then we would all also sometimes just pray for the person beside you. And sometimes I would strategically place them with the sibling they're least getting along with. Or would say something nice about the person beside you before we were going to eat. You know. But it takes time. Because there might be a meal. And I would say, I know this isn't your favorite, but it's what we're having. Because if I cook the favorite for all 8 kids every day, I'm not cooking multiple meals. I mean, it's just what we're having. And then if it's something that's not their favorite, I'm like, okay. It's so funny what number you decide on. I'm like, okay, eat 2 green beans, you know. But I don't have to feel bad about that. But they need something green. They need green vegetables. And we're not going to be a hot dog chicken nugget mom.
What's like one or two things? I know over the seasons of life through all of your kids, you know, life on the outside has been very different. What's something, one or two things like with your first couple that you still do? And then what's one or two things that I'm like, oh, this has to be different, you know?
Ooh, that is a great question. So our household has had many different kids, and in parenting the children who've come home, that we call it parenting 2.0, is very different with Isaiah and Christopher. They also have some differences. So if you're a mother who has kids who have some differences, I also understand that. Our kids who've come home through adoption, there's some different things. Sometimes that might happen. You know, the table time and then just that family identity and praying together, just talking about, well, this is what Sherrods do. And just the word of God, the scripture, they memorize so well at those young ages. And even like New City Catechism, just memorizing that, they know it better than me. Like even like this thing we say every day, I have to ask them, what's that thing we say, y'all? And I'm repeating it too with them, you know? And so, mostly that, I think.
Could you speak to how to do this well in the tension of being a working mom, either out of necessity or for me, it's out of necessity and because I feel like God has given me a really special purpose in my job as well. Mm-hmm. But I feel a tension of wishing I could fulfill what God has called me to there while also feeling like I can't or I'm not doing enough as I would like to within the home. Can you speak to that tension?
Yeah, that's super hard. Yeah, I do know that for us, I have a ton of stories of God's financial provision. We have this, it's a memorial shelf of different ways God provided for us over the years when I chose to stay home when they were little, and especially in those first 3 years, it was a lot of sacrifice, and it was a lot. It was really sharing one car, different things that we did, which was really hard. I have a friend, young friend right now, who's really struggling. They ended up having a huge school loans to pay, and she's pregnant with her second, but she's worked it where her husband is working remote, and then she's going in a couple, but only where they have to get somebody to help that's coming in one day a week. But if family members can be available or to help, that, you know, that's always helpful. But my first thought is always just trying to see if there's any way possible. It's been so sweet to see her just trying to figure this out, to try to be present as much as she can. But I'd love to talk to you more after that, because I know that it's really hard, for sure. But
hi. Hey. I was wondering, with the quiet time, what age do you stop doing that? And then, or is it just when they realize they want it on their own, they just keep doing it?
Well, mine ended up being from being home and then me choosing to stay home with them for school. So they still continued. I had some foster kids that they knew, even when they would come visit me after they went back home, they were like, do we still have to spend 2 hours in our room? You know, they knew, but I'm like, but I want to make it be fun, you know, for you. Like, you can do all this, or what would you like to pick for your time? But, you know, I tried to keep that afternoon nap as long as possible, and I feel like 15 months, I feel like that's when, for most kids, it was so hard. And so when it's hard and night and bedtime is harder, and I really want that bedtime to happen well, that's when I'm like, I didn't want them to fall asleep. You know what I'm talking about? That stage where it's like, okay, here are some activities you can do, and you're going to stay in your room. And again, I would increase that time or whatever, because some kids can do time alone better than other kids. But even now, my kids, 9, 10, what are they, 9 and 10? I'm like, y'all are going to, everybody, especially if they're not getting along and they're tired, I'm like, okay, y'all go to your room. You go in your room, find a book, you read, you go over here, you read. You need to be alone. You need to. I do. I need to be alone.
Have you got time for one more question? Yes.
Can I just say, you are a phenomenal woman. My gosh. Are we just not, like, so encouraged by you?
Good,
let's give it up for Katie.
You're sweet.
Wow, I am encouraged. I'm convicted. I'm challenged. You, just from what you've shared, like, it sounds like you have poured so much into your children, which is a beautiful thing because it's legacy. But my question, I have children that are 5, 4, and 2, and I find myself constantly overwhelmed. Pastor's wife, that's our fourth child, is the church. Mm-hmm. But what was your self-care in a season where, like, you just feel kind of overwhelmed with, like, mommy, can you come wipe me? Mommy, what are we doing next? Like, what was your self-care? What did that look like?
Yeah, I think that's what drove me more to figure out what I'm doing here, to know what my rules are, pushing my children towards maturity. Okay, we're going to wipe. You just wipe yourself. And yeah, there's going to be a little residue left, but we're going to take a bath later. And it's me letting go of a lot of things and just going, hey, you know what? They're on the wrong, your shoes are on the wrong feet, but buddy, you put them on. Let's get out of here. Here we go. You know, and then just being prepared for the worst of what's going to happen when I go and expecting it. Like, of course you just had diarrhea 3 times. Of course you're going to have, you should be done. You go somewhere and, like, they're a blowout, you know, and it's like, I don't have extra. So just even just going, and I don't want to be, my husband says I can be, he thinks I'm a pessimist sometimes, and I'm just a realist. And, you know, so, but just being prepared for that. But I think what I did too is that I said no to a lot of things. And this world's pulling everywhere. And it's like, I need to be home. But also, you need to be careful not to idolize your family and make that most important, because God is most important. And what I ended up doing was staying home because, too, my kids needed naps. And you feel guilty. It's like, I'm dragging you around. You know, if you're 10 o'clock at the store and a child's fussing, I can't complain. I can't get mad at you because it's me who drug you there. It's your bedtime. You're 2 years old, you know. And so for me to just self-sacrifice and rearrange my schedule. But that's why this order and time alone was helpful for me to say no, to know that I can't just do, there's a season here, and I just can't do everything, even if it's with the church. I need to make sure my kids know that mommy's here for them ahead of the church too, which is, I know, I get that, and that's hard. I don't want them to resent the church because of that. And so, and then just at night, I know my husband would come home and go, he's like, oh, he was ready for family time. I'm like, family time? I've been having family time all day. I'm like, I am ready to go somewhere. And so I was a night owl during that time. And so a lot of times when they went to bed, I was like gone. And before cell phones, he did not know where I was. He would thought I was gone every time. I'm like, I'm coming home. I just don't know when, you know. And it's like, and I don't even want anybody thinking about me or wondering or asking me a question right now, you know. So that's where, too, some of you need to put those phones away and just get where nobody can even get to you. It's going to be okay. The world will continue. So,
Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So great today.
Yeah. Thank y'all. Thank you.
Okay. It's lunchtime. So
yay.
Go over and grab some lunch. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.